Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Tempe, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and I am very excited to have a full house today. My friend is back from Mask Magazine and Mother's Awareness on School-Age Kids. Oh my gosh, I say magazine only because it's such a visual for me, but it's so much more than that, isn't it, Michelle?
It sure is. Okay. We are a full service parenting and I would say youth resource for kids to learn how to make safe, healthy choices.
Magazine courses, workshops, online resources, anything a parent needs in order to best support their child between what ages?
Kindergarten through college.
Right.
And, you know, with today's world, the issues that face children change rapidly. So our goal at MASC is to keep parents and children up to date on those rapidly changing challenges that they face daily.
So I got so excited that you're here and introducing you. I only gave you a first name. I didn't tell you how amazing this woman is. This is Michelle Cardini. She's a co-founder for Mask Matters, again, Mother's Awareness on School-Age Kids. And she's brought with her today a few friends who have been part of the inner circle with Mask Matters for at least a couple of years now. So I'll introduce our two other guests, and then let's just have a conversation more about Mask, but also how these gals are uniquely involved. First, I'd like to introduce Lauren Daniels, founder of Happily Ever After League. Welcome, Lauren.
Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to have you here. And briefly, just tell us a little bit about Happily Ever After League.
Well, the Happily Ever After League is an organization that I founded after I was diagnosed with breast cancer at the age of 35. And we support moms going through cancer recovery with the moms have to have at least one dependent child living at home and be in have an active cancer diagnosis when they come to us. And we give a financial grant to them to help pay for medical co-payments and necessities. You know, cancer comes with a very expensive price tag. And then we have ongoing support for our moms through our Healing House. And we do outreach there for back to school drives and holiday gifts. And we have a food pantry there. And it's just a very, very special place.
I'm looking forward to hearing more. I know we said we recognized each other. It must be through our Mask connection,
exactly.
But I'm very excited to learn everything else about
you
and your organization.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And Michelle Moorfanger, founder of Mother's Grace. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, I'm excited. I thought you looked familiar in the lobby, but we're thinking maybe not. So this is our first time meeting. If you would please tell us a little bit about Mother's Grace.
Sure. So Mother's Grace was founded 9 years ago after I had a bout also with cancer. And 3 weeks later, my middle son, 7 years old, was diagnosed with juvenile diabetes. At the time, I realized that moms are truly the backbone of the family, and they need a lot of support when they're going through overwhelming life circumstance. So we started a very small grassroots organization that helps moms during the overwhelming times that they could experience, you know, life circumstances, illness, death, natural disasters. We helped a lot during Hurricane Katrina. The other thing that we do is we are mentors for moms that have gone through something very overwhelming and they decide they want to start their own 501c3. We believe that those moms have the experience like nobody else to pay that particular situation forward and understand that more than most. So we are a board of 11 professional businesswomen that all have different strengths, and we can take those on and help mentor a woman or a mom, I should say, through the business, you know, the channels of starting a 501c3. We help them with marketing, we help them with legal, we help them with finance, and kind of launch them into their own organization.
Wow.
Amazing organization.
Incredible. 9 years, and I don't know that I heard, Lauren, how long?
We started HEAL in 2004, and we've been going strong for 14 years.
Wow. Yep. So Michelle, tie the bow around this for us. How do you know these gals? How have you come to know them?
Well, it's so interesting because, you know, at Mask, we are mothers who are highlighting other women that are making a difference in our magazine. So in our magazine, we have a section every quarter that's titled Moms Making a Difference. And that article typically relates back to the topic of the issue of the magazine. And what we decided a few years ago was to open that up to women around the country who are making a difference and to people to nominate moms that are making a difference in the lives of children and families. So we started that, what year was it? 2012, yeah, I think we started opening that up to people to nominate. And our very first year, we had, I think, over 28 women nominated. Mm-hmm. And we celebrate and acknowledge these women and their passion of what they're doing in the community. And I think that a lot of women are out there doing fantastic, incredible things, but we are not typically out there touting what we do. And we at MASC wanted to highlight these women and acknowledge them and give them an opportunity to be seen in the media and social media because they are doing such fantastic things and people in the community need to know about it. So we created this platform where we highlight these women and we encourage people to vote for them. And it gives the mom making a difference an opportunity to say, hey, look, I was nominated. Can you guys vote for me? And she's spreading the word about what she's doing. So Lauren Daniels was our very first Mom Making a Difference recipient back in 2012. And for us, it's such an honor to honor these incredible women that are doing incredible things. And then a few years later, Michelle Morfanger was nominated and she was a recipient. So these recipients of the Mom Making Difference Award get a editorial spread in our summer issue so we can highlight their organization and what they're doing in the community and do that through our magazine that goes out to 2 million plus readers, and then also highlight them through social media.
Wow. So is it always nonprofit? Moms running nonprofit organizations?
Not always, but typically, yes.
Tends to be.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I noticed that you mentioned, and I think we are all nodding our heads, yes, that particularly nonprofit founders and women mm-hmm. tend to downplay the exposure for themselves. And so what a great honor for MASC to be able to help you put the spotlight on your business. So it's almost third party, you know, that mm-hmm. credibility saying, listen, this is worthy of recognition. And we don't have to be out there doing it ourselves. I guess I'm talking about humility and being humble, right? I think sometimes we forget that when we can share a great story about who we are and what we're doing in this world, it isn't about us, but we're being of service. And letting more people know. So what a great opportunity you've provided women and their organizations to say, listen, these moms are making a difference. And then we get to be able to say that as well. So I love it.
Not only are they making a difference and with so many families, but now that I've known these incredible women for a few years, I've personally seen families that have been affected by their organizations. And it's so rewarding and so special to watch and see them grow and see the influence they have in this wonderful community we live in.
Yeah. And you get to be a resource for them as well, right? Obviously, anybody who reads the magazine and takes a look at the article or sees you through the exposure that MASC has provided, we've become a bigger network, don't we? And then people can refer and who knows, business partnerships can be born out of that. In addition to, at the end of the day, helping the women and the families that need your help.
I think that's an important point. It's very serendipitous the way the three of us have come together, not knowing each other. And I will say that when I was going through cancer 10 years ago, next month will be my 10-year anniversary. Yay. And I heard of Heal through my radiologist, actually, and learned of Lauren and her her great organization. And then learned of her more after being awarded the MASC Award. Got to know Michelle through that. We've helped each other with different yes. recipients. So Lauren will call me or vice versa to help different moms. And then Michelle comes with her entourage to our event every year. And, you know, last year she was there and 2 days later she had a dear friend that needed help. So the way we've all worked together and gotten to know each other has been very serendipitous. It's really interesting to me.
It's interesting and it's so rewarding in the sense that we see the legs go further.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, there's so many women that have been nominated for Masks Moms Making a Difference that, in fact, Michelle Morfanger helped start the 501c3, like Lorraine Tolman.
That's the other thing.
Right. I mean.
Okay, tell us about that.
Yeah.
So Michelle helps organizations start their 501c3. And I think a lot of women that go through challenging life circumstances, that challenge leads them to their purpose and their path in life. And what a blessing that Michelle Morfanger's organization helps these women start their 501c3. So I'll let Michelle tell a little bit more about Lorraine Tolman, but we've all been connected through her as well.
Right. That's another, I forgot about that. That's an interesting point. And I think it was Lorraine, actually a friend of a friend, nominated Lorraine to our organization when she was just lost her daughter to leukemia. And she had this great passion to do a wonderful thing out in the community and the world. A lot of these women that go through this were moms and maybe just had regular jobs, but maybe they didn't have the business acumen to, you know, launch something. And they're just like, I want to do this, but where do I even start? Plus, I'm still dealing with some grief, et cetera. So she did come to us and we helped her launch Comfy Cozy Chemo, which is an amazing organization. Mm-hmm. And what's, you know, great is we also work as partners with her. So she now calls us and says, hey, I've got this sick kiddo over at PCH. Can you come over and help with the mom and vice versa? And the other thing that Michelle Cardini just said is she was the recipient of the Mask Award the year before me. Mm-hmm. And when I went to the Mask luncheon where I received the award, I had no idea at all that I was going to win, none whatsoever. And they had Lorraine Tolman read the speech that introduced me winning the award. And it was just, again, so the only word I can come up with is serendipitous because this is a person that we helped. And then she was reading me that I was the whole little speech that where I won. And it was just, it's amazing. So now we're all really joined through something very big.
And we connect through, so Lorraine Tolman creates these comfy, cozy chemo shirts. So kids have dignity when they're going through their treatment and they have little holes and everything for the ports and everything that goes on. And I just think that between Lauren and Michelle, both being involved with cancer patients and having cancer diagnosis themselves, they can relate so well and refer each other to help. You know, refer each organization to, for each of us to help. So as much as we are all moms making a difference with our own passion, we are connected for a reason that helps the greater good for all.
And like, making partnerships strong.
And partners. I do. Yeah, I think definitely that together we do more. I mean, it's kind of, you know, people always say that and it really, but it when we started collaborating, I always say that we can just get these people so much further down the road with the other resources if we're tapping into each other and not necessarily duplicating, but complementing what we're all doing. And I think that me, I started the Happily Ever After League 6 months after I was diagnosed. And because I found that it's just very hard to ask for help. And I had so much support at the time that I was going through. And I just kept thinking, what do people do when they don't have that kind of support? And so I started the Happily Ever After League, or HEAL as we call it, just to be of service to other mothers who maybe needed just a little bit extra. And I think that is something that as women, it's just, it's not as easy to toot our own horn or to ask for the help and that type of thing. And that's why I always say, I think it was 8 years after I started HEAL that when I was nominated and won the first Moms Making a Difference Award. And I think it was the first time that it hit me. I just thought, okay, well, I got cancer and I'm going to use that to better the community. And that's what brought me to my life's work. But that day was just kind of about me. And it really, I think, was the first time it occurred to me, like, what really had happened, you know, what I'd been through and that I became of service to the community. But it was just a very unusual feeling for me to be just honored in that way. And I always tell Kimberly and Michelle that at Mask that it was just like truly one of like such a highlight for me because I never think of putting myself first. So it was just such a beautiful day. I'm just grateful for it.
And that's exactly why we started it, because we know moms don't put themselves first and don't want to be out there shouting all the great things that they're doing, right. but you are having such an influence. So we are honored to honor you too.
Yes.
And we're thrilled to say that we have 17 new moms this year that have been nominated for A Mom Making a Difference. And they're all featured in the spring issue of Mask the Magazine, which is out right now and available at maskmatters.org. But these women are 17 new women that you can vote for. Voting goes on through April 2nd. So check them out on maskmatters.org and just see all these incredible women that are doing great things for families and youth.
And is it Arizona specific? I know that your organization has a huge reach all across the country and actually outside of our country walls. I know that.
Exactly.
But are these just Arizona women?
No, they're from all over. So a lot of them are from Arizona, but they're from all over as well. Yeah.
So 17 nominees.
17 nominees.
Voting through
April 2nd, which is next Tuesday, I believe.
Is it just a matter of going to the maskmatters.org website and looking to see
who
they are?
You'll see on the homepage that you can read about and nominate for the 17 moms that have been nominated this year. Yeah.
Love it. And what kind of feedback? So we've heard obviously from Lauren and Michelle, but what kind of feedback do you hear from people who are subscribers to the magazine or even just followers on social media? I would imagine it's not unsimilar to what we're discussing, that opportunity to acknowledge somebody, but also maybe pass along information when we might not have known about some of these organizations.
Right. I mean, I think, yes, a lot of the women that have been nominated are so thrilled to be able to expose their organization to others. And then the people that surround them, gives them an opportunity to promote the organization as well. There's these little treasures, these little gems of organizations out there that are helping, that people are finding out about because we've created this exposure and this acknowledgement platform for them. So the feedback has been wonderful.
And I'm sorry. It's been how many years? You said 2012?
2012, we started the Moms Making a Difference Award,
Oh my gosh.
And recognition platform that we have now,
So if somebody is listening and they have somebody in mind to nominate for next year, tell us a little bit about that initial nomination process.
Yes, so that happens around September 1st.
Okay.
And so nominating goes through September 1st to like mid-November. And then by December, we announce all the nominees. And from December through April, there's a voting process and an ability to spread the word. So we do several press releases. We do we highlight them all in the magazine, their photograph, their cause. And then through social media, we're constantly encouraging people to vote, and as well as the recipients are doing that as well. So it goes basically from September through April, and then the winner is announced this year, April 10th.
And then you take a breath.
Mm-hmm. And then we take a breath.
And you do the event, the big mask fundraiser in between.
Well, yes. So we do that in October, signature.
For some reason, I was thinking summer, but of course it's October.
The masquerade ball is in October always.
So you girls don't breathe.
No, we don't really breathe, but that keeps us motivated.
Yes, it does.
And so the nice thing about the highlighting these women is that we do have one winner who gets the editorial spread, but then the two that come up second with the highest votes, second and third, they get highlighted in a column that's titled Highlight Her. And one will be featured in the fall issue of Mask the Magazine, and the other will be featured in the winter issue of Mask the Magazine. So everybody gets their name and photograph, and then the winner and the two follow-up recipients will be highlighted in editorial in the magazine. So we just try to highlight these incredible, phenomenal women.
It's fantastic to, of course, be the winner or top three. But everybody gets the exposure by nature of the way that you're having people participate once the honorees have been announced, right?
Exactly.
So once you know who the distinguished women are, then December to April, you're giving them this great exposure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And rallying their community behind them. It's really a fantastic. And I think, Michelle, you had mentioned it's just this mutual, beautiful blend of lifting each other up and supporting each other. I am a firm believer that there's enough business to go around, number mm-hmm. one.
Yeah.
We all need a hand to lift up, to Lauren's point. We're always not always good about asking for help, But when we start to sit from that perspective and say, you know what, one, I'm worthy. Two, I know that I have something to give and offer, even if I haven't been able to articulate it yet. Get with Michelle to have someone find out how to express that and put that into action. But when we start to realize we all put our pants on or our dresses on the same way, we can find ways to have these beautiful relationships. Mm-hmm. And I know that Masks is certainly one of the most solid organizations, not only serving, obviously, families all over the country and all over the world, but more specifically, Arizona with the work that you guys do. So thank you for that.
Oh, thank you.
Tell us a little bit, if you could, Michelle, about your educational process, the workshops and some of the things that you're doing in schools.
So the MASC mission is to educate both parents, children, and the community about any issues facing children and empower children to make safe, healthy choices. And we do that through a number of different ways, but the initial strategy for MASC was to educate kids in the schools. And we cannot educate children without educating their parents on the latest issues that are affecting kids, whether it's bullying or self-esteem or current drug and alcohol trends or keeping up with the internet and what kids face on the internet. Our goal is to educate kids age appropriately from kindergarten through college. And so we have a program called the MASC E3 Institute, and that educates children kindergarten through college age appropriately. We go into the schools. We don't believe in going into the schools one time and leaving. That just doesn't have a long-term effect. Our goal is to change the school climate. And so we'd like to go into a school 3 times a year for 3 years in a row and teach children life skills, social, emotional learning skills that will help them deal with all the challenges that will come their way. And we believe that you need to talk to children 5 years before they're going to be exposed to something about that topic age appropriately. And when you do, especially as parents, when you do have that conversation with your kids age appropriately and prepare them for the world, you would be surprised how often they come back and talk to the parents about the challenges that are there. And I think that as parents, it should be our intention to try to get out to have open dialogue with our children, because we don't want them turning to their peers, because they often do, and their peers are typically misinformed. So if they can come to us when the challenges hit and we can guide them through that, what a gift that is to guide them through. So our programming goes 3 times a year in a school for 3 years in a row. We partnered with Arizona State University to train and certify Arizona State students to go into the schools and present the programs to the kids. Mm. Because as moms, we can go in and present, but we just look like another teacher or mom telling them how to live their life or
get a college kid in there who they can relate to.
And it makes all the difference in the world. So the college kids go in and do the 3 main presentations a year based on maybe peer pressure, technology safety, and self-esteem. And then after they do the big presentation in the school 3 times a year, a month after the presentation, they go back and do reinforcement activities with the kids. So the kids have a lesson book that they're working on all year long through MASC Academy, and they learn writing prompts and they do certain things to reinforce the lessons, the life skills we've taught them. So we are constantly going back and reinforcing what they've learned all year long. And at the end of the year, the child will graduate from MASC Academy with their lesson books. So that's for elementary age, but we go all the way through middle school and high school, and we do these programs as much as we can, 3 times a year in as many schools as we can.
Incredible. Yeah, we're all just sitting here in awe, listening and nodding heads. It's a fantastic program and obviously started right here in Arizona. Are there plans to grow this program outside of Arizona?
Absolutely. We would like to scale it nationally. So we're working now on creating a way to scale it, maybe more of a digital format to scale it, but possibly partnering again with other universities around the country to have the students work in the schools with kids to reinforce the message. And in addition to the program we do with the kids, of course, we have to educate the parents. So we always offer a parent university program that works with what your child learned. So you know what your child learned, the parents come in and learn the same thing and they can reinforce it at home. And then of course, Mouse the Magazine is a wonderful, wonderful reinforcement as well that will go home with every child that attends a MASC E3 Institute program. The magazine goes home with them to reinforce the message and keep parents up to date on these challenges that kids face.
Incredible. Wow. I know we could talk a lot more about that, but I want to make sure that we have given an opportunity for Lauren and Michelle to share a little bit more about your organizations. Since this is Business Radio X, the majority of our listeners are business owners or C-level executives. And so could we talk a little bit about how you receive your funding and what the needs are, your current needs, and how we might be able to help you? Lauren, do you mind start sharing for us?
Sure, yes. Well, we have our organization, like I said earlier, that we give out one-time financial grants. So I always call it kind of a revolving door. It's like easy in, easy out. So we have our biggest fundraiser, our signature fundraiser is coming up on April 8th. It's called the Fairy Tale Tea, and it's an amazing day. Each table hostess decorates her table in a fairy tale or whimsical type of theme. And we give a little teapot, wooden teapot award out that's decorated. And you would think we were giving out big cash prizes because these ladies go a little crazy with their tablescapes. So you can come to attend that event. But we do grant writing. We do get grants in the community from some of we've gotten them from the Thunderbirds Charities and Fry's and some of the bigger organizations. And we just a lot of family foundations and that type of thing who believe in our mission. And so we have a healing house, which we started in 2007, 3 years after we started the organization, to be of ongoing support to our families. And we were having trouble getting a grant. And then Wells Fargo actually gave us a nonprofit grant. But we only had 5 years to pay it off. And we paid it off in four, which was just a miracle.
Wow. Yeah.
So now all of the money that we raise really stays towards our mission and helping touching the moms. And so we have monthly events where we have social support for families and the kids, because when a mom goes through cancer, it touches everybody in the family. And then we offer a food pantry, which is like a little green grocer. It's free to them. We get donations of food. So that's a way that people can donate to us other than financially, and their time as well. So sometimes we have businesses come in and do a little group projects and just a little enhancement to the house and that type of thing. So there's many ways, time and talent, and we could always use it.
Great to know.
And the Fairy Tale Tea is the most amazing event.
It sounds like you called it tablescape.
Oh. You should see these tablescapes. I mean, these people. I think some of them plan for almost a year to do their table.
They start before they even go to the tea. They're like, you know what I'm doing next year? I'm like, can we just get through the week? Let's just get through this one here. So.
It's just such a beautiful event. It's a great event to do to take your daughter to a mother daughter event. Harry Potter tables and the Wizard of Oz, you name it. The themes are incredible.
We once had Tarzan, who had three tables, and she brought her stuff out in a U-Haul. And they were like vines attached. Like we had to put a limit to the height because people were getting crazy.
How fun is that?
It's fun. It's fun.
And I would imagine, I haven't experienced a personal cancer journey myself. But I know a lot of women and men, for that matter, children who have. I love that you've selected a fairy tale theme.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about how that came about? I have my own perceptions, but
we just always try to do events that are just uplifting, because we do work in a world that's not just very uplifting. Teddy. We're lifting others up. And so this is the 10th anniversary of the Fairy Tale Tea this year. We have some really very special surprises, and it's going to be, bring your tissues kind of a day. But I always say it's something that cannot be experienced. I mean, it has to be experienced. You can't really explain it unless you're there, because it's just a beautiful, visually just over the top kind of a day. We thought it would be a great way. We did the first one that we ever had. We did it in the backyard of the Healing House, and we had 13 tables. And then the next year we went up to like 20, and then we've been up to anywhere from, 280, 300 people to 350. But it's kind of an event that can't be much bigger than that, because you would just be like being at Disneyland. It's just stimulation overload. But it's we just thought it's great because it's a way for people to bring in new people.
Yes.
So one table hostess invites 10 of her friends. And so it's just a way to introduce more people to the to our community in a fun, uplifting manner.
So it's, again, April.
It's April the 8th.
April 8th this year.
Yeah.
And you can come as an individual.
You can. If you go to our website, happilyeverafterleague.org, you can buy tickets. They're called Be Our Guest seats.
Of course, right?
And so we're actually, after this, I'm going to set the room up and pick out your tables and how many we have, how many Be Our Guest tables. So if you're interested, we'd love to have you, but let us know soon.
Excellent. And the website again?
happilyeverafterleague.org.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Thanks for sharing. Michelle, tell us a little bit more about Mother's Grace. Do you have any events coming up, and how can we, our listeners, help you, and where does your funding come from?
So we're a completely volunteer organization. So 95% of our funds go straight back to the moms. We don't have any salaries or expenses that way. So all of our funding comes from sponsors, you know, family foundations. And our event that we host every year is actually, it's always the Thursday before Mother's Day. So it's May 3rd. And it's just been growing. So it goes to different locations every year. It's now at El Charro Restaurant on Lincoln. And it's from 9 to 12 on May 3rd. And so what we do is a little bit different for our event. We don't charge for attendance, because we don't want to preclude any mom from being able to attend. Right. However, there are certain things that you have to do to RSVP and come. So if people are interested, they can certainly come to our website, which is mothers-grace.org. The way that we get our funding is through true sponsorships. And we have some great ones and big partnerships in the community, like State 44 and Dominic's and Valley Toyota, amazing sponsors. They fund us each year and carry our budget. And we do a few grants too. But again, we are all volunteer, and we all have other careers. We're 11 businesswomen on the board. So we all have other careers that we do.
Yeah.
So we don't do a ton of grant writing. That's where we depend on the sponsors. Like I said before, we do two things. We help moms in the absolute moment of their crisis. So we come in and do whatever they may need. We do things like mortgage assistance, utility assistance, car payment assistance. We've repaired cars. We've gotten people cars. Wow. We have provided counseling, provided funeral costs, unfortunately. We do meals for families that are going through illnesses. One thing I'm very proud of is we are helping build infrastructure around a girls' hostel in India, where they had no, you know, running water, no bathrooms. They were using fields to use the restroom, and tuberculosis was running rampant. So this last year, we are investing in that. Most of what we do is local, 85%, but when we feel called by a community member, which we did in this India project, there was a priest and a nun that worked locally and got us involved with that. And I actually traveled to India in January help put this infrastructure together. But that's impacting 153 girls between 5 and 15 that were getting tuberculosis. So anywhere we can help as moms and lift young girls or other moms up in the immediacy of their need. And like I said, that could be anything. Sometimes it's medication. Sometimes it's just us going over to PCH and working with Lorraine. We have 100 volunteers that work that might come and sit with a child that's sick at night when mom has to go home and take care of the other child. We've done a lot of that. You know, we drive moms to chemo. We house them. I have a lady right now that's going through cancer treatment that doesn't have family locally that's living in my guest house. So we do all kinds of different things wherever the call is needed. So that's all I can really say about that.
What else is there to say? Wow.
Such an amazing, amazing organization. Mm-hmm. And I remember when Michelle accepted her award, she said, we are the hands and feet of Jesus.
Yeah, and that's how we feel. We feel one of the things we feel like is a mom all of us, I'm sure, have felt this way. We get really down about something. Something happens. There's a death. There's an illness. There's a crisis in our family. And we get really down. But we know the next morning we have to get up and make it happen for our families. So whatever your belief system is, we offer up a prayer. We are sitting there thinking, how am I going to get through the next day? We believe we want to be an answer to a prayer. So we want someone to come in and nominate that person and say, this woman or this mom or this family needs lifting up. And we want to call. And that's the other great thing about our organization. We work within 48 hours. There's not a lot of red tape. So someone nominates somebody. We get on with those 11 businesswomen on email. We approve things. We vet things. And the help goes out that week.
And they do. And they are amazing because we have the one-time grant that we do at HEAL. And sometimes moms will come back to us and say, my car is getting impounded. I cannot repair my car. I can't get to my... And so, you know, the light bulb goes off. I nominate them to Michelle. She sends me a note back. I mean, almost momentarily, like within days. Okay, the mom's been helped. And it just, it makes, it is like, I'm saying prayers that what can I do more? And I can't do more, excuse me, in my organization because I would have given all the money away to the first person. Just, you know, I mean, so you have to have a board and you have to have rules in place. And I try to make sure that we can help because we even have grandmas sometimes that, because we always say it's a dependent child. Sometimes there's a grandma who's has custody of her grandchildren. And so we help a lot of grandmas. And so I don't want to say bent the rules, but we changed our mission to include them as Perfect. Well. And so, but Michelle and Mother's Grace has been an answer to many of our prayers too.
And that's what some of the moms will say. They'll say, I literally didn't know how we were going to pay the mortgage next month. Or I didn't know how, you know, I was going to get to chemo with my son. And all of a sudden out of the blue, I never even heard of Mother's Grace. You know, my friend heard of it on the radio or my friend read it in a magazine and they've nominated me. So we really believe that, it works very divinely.
Yeah, because it's interesting too. I don't, you know, we try to help as much as we can at HEAL. And sometimes there's more we can do a little bit this way or that way. But there's some that I'm like, oh, this is one for them. That
yeah, it's
for
very
sure.
complimentary, obviously.
It really is. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Serendipitous, again, mm-hmm. the word that you chose to use between yeah. all three organizations. Right. And this is just a small micro slice mm-hmm. of what MASC is doing to bring light to all these organizations and these credible moms right. making a difference.
Yeah. And Michelle does have this great event coming up. Did you mention that?
Yes. Yeah, so yeah, May 3rd at El Charro.
Oh, right.
It's our ninth year. Again, it's 9 to noon. It's great because right now, I think we started at our first event with 60 people. And I was begging my friends to come, like writing them emails, making them feel guilty. And now we have about 400 that come
That's
every
awesome.
Year.
Is yeah. El Charro big enough to hold that?
Yeah,
That's
it is.
Incredible.
And we tent it and we have a shopping event, you know, and a raffle. But the best part of it is we always bring back one of the moms that we've mentored mm-hmm. to speak about the process and what they've been through.
Wow. And the date for that again,
May 3rd.
May 3rd at El Charro.
9 to noon. If people are interested, they can email us at mothers-grace.org.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Wow.
I know. And talk
Such
about distinguished women, as you said earlier. And that's, I don't know if you feel that way, Michelle, but the day that I too went when we had the awards that day that I won, and I was there thinking every person that they would read a little thing about my friends. It was right around my birthday. And so we just said, well, let's all just go for your birthday lunch to this MASC luncheon. And you know, my mom's there, my sister, my friends are like, oh, she's going to win.
Oh, wow.
Listen
so
to that. Yeah. I mean,
they
were all doing
yeah.
such amazing things. So that was made it even more meaningful because not that I mean, I almost didn't feel worthy because there were so many people who could have and should have won. And like Michelle said, there was just, they pick one, but there were so many that are also doing such amazing things.
Such amazing things. It was really challenging to pick, but it comes down to the votes. And then we have a board look at each organization and see the impact that they've had in the community and check out their mission statement and what they've done over the years. And then one person gets selected, but they all are so worthy of the great
acknowledgement. It's really cool how you guys make it a surprise too. Mm-hmm. That's
yes.
one of the cool things about it because, you know, you could find out you have an award, but the surprise element of it is really cool.
And they had my mom go up.
Yeah.
She and I didn't. I'm like, what is she doing? Like, she's walking up to the stage. Walking? I'm like, what is she doing? Like, she has this little paper in her hand. Still, and all of a sudden, I'd be like, oh, okay, well, maybe.
That's the best part when it really hits you. Yeah. Like, it's a real surprise.
I think I've never really seen it from your perspective, but I think when you guys are sitting at the table, you don't really realize that we're nearing the end.
No, you don't.
And so you just think another person's going up. And then, like,
And it was funny because they called my husband. And he declined.
Yeah, because we asked him.
We didn't know what a big
award.
Deal it was. And he was like, I'm going to a spring training game with my team and I don't know. And he's like, can you call her mom? And I was so mad. And I'm like, you should have been there.
But really to not be aware. Like,
we just didn't know like what it even really, you know, that again, it was that big
first,
of a deal.
Right?
It
so was. Now, everyone after you, you know, a little bit more.
Yeah, if your husband is called, make him go.
Right. I love
it. For Michelle, it was Lorraine Tallman because she had won herself. And if it wasn't for Michelle assisting her to help our organization get off the ground, you know, so it was such a special thing that we had. And of course, Lorraine was just so wonderful walking up there in her tie-dye, comfy, cozy, chemo dress.
She's awesome. And it was great because I had all my friends sitting at the table. And it's funny because, you know, like I said, we all work. So we're like, okay, it's at the end, we're getting to the end and we got to get out of here. And I'm thinking, gosh, can we sneak out? And then you're the one that's winning.
You better not.
It's crazy.
So I love this. This is the behind the scenes look at this special opportunity. Yeah. We've mentioned how distinguished you women are. In addition to the women that you honor, you're also change makers, and I think that's inherent in our conversation. But I think it's overlooked in our conversation. That's why I want to speak to it. You really are obviously making a difference, but you're influencing and lifting up families, educating people, and giving birth to other people to take whatever tragedy or experience they've had and turn it into that passion and purpose. And I know just listening to each of you today and having known Michelle and Mask for quite a few years, that's what we're doing, right? When we show up in what we're called to do, we're giving other people permission to do the same. And each of you, obviously, in your own way, are guiding that other people to not only health and wellness and healing, but also hopefully legacy as well. Michelle Cardini, if you could tell us again where people can get a hold of Mask Matters and where they can go vote for these incredible women who are nominated this year.
They can vote at maskmatters.org.
Perfect. And y'all are, I know Michelle, Mask is on social media, both I think Facebook, of course.
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn.
Okay, everywhere. Mm-hmm. And both of your organizations as well on social?
Yeah. Yes.
Of course, right? I'd have to slap your hands if you weren't. Great. Thank you again for being here. I've so enjoyed getting to know you. I did offer up the opportunity for each of you to come back to talk further about your organizations. We can talk about that when we go off air, but I would love to welcome you back so we can continue to shine the spotlight in your direction. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Owicki.